You're back inside the bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So George and Josh Beard here with you. Josh just made his confession.
No, dude, don't. This was between us and Twitch during the break.
Not many people know this. Ugh. But Josh made his confession.
Yeah.
That
he
one time said Myles Garrett was gonna be a bust.
So
for the people that are like team Joe George and Josh Beard right now, like, wow. Yeah, we love that you guys like the Texans pick. Just remember that Josh said Myles Garrett was a bust, and I have a wager with Jeremy and Joel, two separate wagers, that the Bears are going to win the division this year.
So if you think
I'm an idiot.
I also was one of the only people before he was even drafted the Cowboys who was saying that Dak Prescott was going to be one of the most successful quarterbacks the NFL would see.
Thing, Josh. I think that's a bad take. He stinks.
He's not. He doesn't stink. He's good. He's a good quarterback. He's one of the best from that draft class.
He was until he got paid.
Yeah.
Now he's like probably one of the most overpaid players in the NFL.
He is Kirk Cousins. He and Kirk Cousins are the same person. At some point, they were the same person. They split.
I'll take Kirk Cousins every day.
They're the same guy.
Over Dak Prescott.
No. Yes. They're literally the same 100%. Dude. No, that's wrong. See, this is why we don't listen to Joe. Here's my defense. I was too close to the Aggies at the time. Myles Garrett was only getting a ton of sacks against bad teams during his last season when he was injured, and I wanted to try to make a name for myself by being the only guy who said Myles Garrett would be a bust. It was a stupid decision. Look, when we get behind...
When you announced your retirement from scouting like Jeremy did with Will Levis?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I doubled and tripled down. I got better. You know what? I wasn't good at that point. I got better. And that's what you do. Sometimes you're not good, and you have to get better. Just like C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson will do after being drafted. I'm going to segue out of this nonsense that you pulled me into.
All right, so let's talk a little bit. King of Twitch said, should I empty my life savings?
No.
And bet on the Texans winning more than
that's
16?
What started this conversation,
No, I think you should. And he said, scare money, don't make money. And then, you should bet responsibly always. I'll make sure I say that forever so that when Texas gets its head off its ass, and they actually like legalize gambling, we have to say that at all the time is gamble responsibly. However, because of their schedule, and like if you love D'Amico Ryans and like what you think he's going to bring to this team, and like you think that they've made smooth moves and like good decisions in the offseason by Dalton Schultz and Sheldon Rankins and Jimmy Ward and like Shaq trading for Shaq Mason, it's if you do believe all that stuff. And you look at their schedule next year, it's they're playing a last place schedule for a reason.
Yeah.
But by playing a last place schedule, these are some of the quarterbacks you're going to play next year. You're going to play Desmond Ridder, Bryce Young.
Love it.
You're going to play something of an Anthony Richardson or Will Levis.
A couple times.
Yeah. You'll probably play those two quarterbacks probably two or three times, depending on when you get them in the season. You play the New Orleans Saints. You're going to play Kyle Trask or Baker Mayfield in the Buccaneers. You're going to play Arizona Cardinals, which, like, if you get them earlier in the season, you might now be playing Clayton Tune or Colt McCoy. That's going to be an interesting one. Yeah. Clayton Tune versus Colt McCoy. They're still the Jags. I know they won the division last year, but they're still the Jags. I'm not saying the Texans are going to make the playoffs, but if C.J. Stroud is an average rookie quarterback, there's enough talent on this team to win 7 or 8 games next year.
The Jags will be.
It doesn't mean they will.
Yeah, the Jags will be a tough one. They just added Anton Harrison to the team. I love that draft pick for them. They moved down a couple of times. I think they first moved back, traded with the Giants, then they moved back after trading with the Bills. And they ended up taking Anton Harrison. So they bolstered their offensive line. And then they're going to get Calvin Ridley back too. I think a lot of people keep forgetting. I keep forgetting about that. And then every once in a while, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, Calvin Ridley is going to be in their wide receiver core. But I think the Jags are going to be a tough one. But other than that, they have a relatively easy schedule. Imagine if Will Anderson hits and he's just facing those offensive lines and quarterbacks in his rookie season. That's where earlier you talked about, hey, we have guys that that are going to be competing for offensive and defensive rookie of the year. I think that's where Will Anderson could make a name for himself. I could very well see. If Will Anderson works out in D'Amico's defense, going against these teams, I could see an almost Micah Parsons-esque trajectory for Will Anderson in his rookie season.
I think he can have a very good rookie season. And look, the Texans, at a minimum, my eyeballs will no longer be bleeding on Sundays because that is what they've done the last 2 years. Yeah. They have played bad football. And I know, like, we want them to care about us fans in sports, and they really shouldn't. All they should care about is their vision for their team. Mm-hmm. Like, the Astros didn't care about the fans when they lost three straight years of 100 games, when they wouldn't call up George Springer. Like, but they had their plan. Luno knew what he was doing, and he executed it perfectly. And the Astros have gone through three GMs, two managers, and have the most successful dynasty in the history of sports, in my opinion, because of that. Like, the guys that have left and come in, like they've done, they are perfect to a T. And but they failed the fan base intentionally for years.
Yeah.
The Texans have made the decision at this point in time to no longer do that. They, like, I'll tell you, their goal is to win football games this year. Like, that is different. Last year, it was David Culley the year before that, Lovie Smith last year, Davis Mills as your quarterback, the Driscoll cat, Jeff Driscoll starting games. Their goal was not to win. Their goal was to just get rid of dead cap, get rid of Deshaun Watson, survive this disaster of a franchise at the moment, and then move on. What they've done this offseason, what they've done in this draft, their goal is to win football games. And to be honest, like, there's no embrace the suck this season. Mm-mm. It's time to, like, this is about development. Yes. This is about winning football games. And your number one goal this year should not be make the playoffs. It should almost just be make the Arizona Cardinals pick that you gave them as awful as possible.
Yes.
You want that pick to be 13 so that when you pick 17th with the Browns pick, like, you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Like, your goal is to win football games now. Your goal is to develop a franchise quarterback. Like that's where we're at now. Like, this is an exciting time, like, as a Texans fan going forward, because, like, when you look at this team and what they're doing, like, they're no longer willing to be bad. And that might be the wrong decision. Like, some people,
but it also could be the right decision.
Their decision.
And if it's the right decision, man, this could be a lot of fun to watch. Like, here's honestly where I'm at. Like, whatever value, whatever, I don't have to watch, and you don't either. Okay, the bad man's not going to hurt us anymore. We don't have to watch Davis Mills play quarterback anymore. It's over. We're done with that. See, Josh is excited. We don't have to watch Davis Mills overthrow his receivers by like 16 yards above their head. We don't have to watch Davis Mills throw the ball into the ground 4 yards in front of a receiver on like a 10-yard crossing route.
B-Mac, like, is killing me right now in text. Brian McDonald texting.
Is he really?
He's very
passionate.
He does not like that I said that the Astros are the most successful dynasty in sports history. Yeah, the Patriots are probably in front of them. But I actually think they are. Like, I'm not going to back down from that take. That, no. Like, they're at least number one in baseball in my mind, even though they cheated. Because the Yankees cheated.
Everybody cheats.
Everyone cheats.
Everyone cheats.
So, like, that's why. So, baseball's weird.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone's a cheater.
Let's just double down just to make
He said
mad.
Patriots. All right. He says Yankees, Patriots, Celtics, Lakers.
No, Astros, number one.
Well,
we just go into troll mode now.
I also, like, I got to. Should I cover up my Bulls logo?
I was just about to ask you, like, coming from Chicago, what about the Bulls?
Can I just change it to baseball? I've been put in my place.
Yeah, change it to baseball. Okay. I'll allow it.
Number one in baseball.
We're going to pretend like you said baseball the first time.
I'm going to pretend I'm not wearing a Bulls logo on my chest right now. I forgot about Michael Jordan for
seconds. Yeah, we're going to hide all the evidence and pretend like you said baseball from the very beginning. You are wearing an Astros hat with a Bulls sweater right now. It's kind of off-putting.
Well, I don't have a Bulls hat.
So you're saying you would replace the Astros hat with a Bulls hat if you could?
Well, at this moment,
I'm saying
you
should replace the Bulls sweater with
I wear
an Astros
sweater. Stuff all the time.
Not enough.
That's fake news.
Not enough.
You're fake news,
Homer
Josh.
Joe.
You can look at all of our Twitch clips. I'm like, I feel like I'm always in. I don't even wear Bear stuff because I want people to hate me on Twitch anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. They hate you for wearing Bear stuff?
No, they just don't like me sometimes. Oh. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Yesterday was a good day for the Joe George brand.
Some
people really hate me now. Some people really like me from the Killer Bees yesterday. That's all I really know.
I know how to deal with these Twitch hooligans, man. I know how to work them.
We're the toxic Twitchers who are not really in the Twitch chat today. I think we're making some progress.
Good.
I think we're making friends. I met Dick Willie the other day.
Yeah. It's all about just making fun of him during the breaks.
Or Dylan, as he goes by now. He's not here right now in the Twitch chat with one of his 30 accounts. But all right. We need to get back on track. He's Josh Beard. I'm Joe George. How you feeling, Houston? It's the bullpen here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe George, Josh Beard here with you till 2 o'clock. Normally myself and Andrew Carlson here with you every single Saturday. You can catch the Bullpen on Sundays as well from 10 to 12. Tomorrow, Brian McDonald, RJ Saunders, Sean Mapes there with you from 10 to 12. I know tomorrow they'll be joined by Joel Blank to... talk about Ime Udoka. Old man Josh Beard can't sit down anymore, apparently.
I'm stretching, dude. I am old. I have gotten so old. And everything hurts all the time, especially because I've been working out and playing basketball a lot more lately. And I can't do that. Like, I could play two games of pickup before I feel like my body's about to break apart. The crazy thing is it takes me about a game and a half to warm up. So I have about a half a game of pickup that I'm just on fire. And then I have to be done after that because my knees, ankles, everything start to feel like they're going to explode.
Just real quick, because we got, you know, I know there's so much going on with the draft, but Ime Udoka introduces new head coach of the Houston Rockets this week. And while some loser from Awful Announcing hates the Houston media, he wrote this, like, book report, basically, about how they only asked 7 questions out of 28 about, like, what happened in Boston. I did find it interesting that, like, Udoka said he couldn't talk about what happened. But I thought the most telling answer for everything to me was that Tillman Fertitta said, the NBA felt comfortable with me hiring Ime, so I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
That to me is, while I think the people that, like, I want the details, I want to know what's going on, you know, sometimes you don't need to know everything.
It's none of our business.
You know, if the NBA feels comfortable with Udoka being back in the league, and look, he was nearly the Brooklyn Nets head coach. He could have had the Raptors job. He chose the Rockets. Like, that, I think, is that's a good day for the Rockets and for their franchise. That the two worst organizations in their respective sports, the Rockets and the Texans, pretty much, the best coaching candidates chose you.
Yeah.
It's funny. As bad as things have been for the Texans and the Rockets, DeMeco chose the Texans.
Yep.
And Udoka chose the Rockets. Like, that alone is a huge win for both these franchises.
The last time I got to do a show with you about a month and a half ago, I don't know, time moves so fast, I don't know how it works. We both said that Ime Udoka, we didn't know everything surrounding his situation, how that would go, but we both said that would be a dream scenario if he ended up being one of the candidates and the coach for the Rockets. So I love it, man. I think it's going to be great, especially when you're looking at a guy who's already taken a young team and helped develop them. And been one of the guys who helped turn them into the players that they are today in Boston. But I understand what Boston had to do with him. I get that there were issues you have to move on from him if you're that organization. But his personal business is his personal business. Well, it's none of ours.
I would say it's very different in terms of, like, the context of, like, what they did.
Yeah.
Because we don't really know Udoka's story. But it just reminds me of AJ, of Hinch. Oh, that, like, it was the Astros made the right decision, I think, in retrospect, to move on from AJ Hinch. Like, I still am going to stick to the fact that, like, he'll be the manager for the Astros next season. I'll probably be wrong, but it's my hot take that AJ Hinch will be back.
Yeah.
But, like, I think Udoka is kind of the same thing, where it's like the Celtics had to move on, but it wasn't going to stop anyone else from hiring him. You know, and that's just, like, where kind of you're at.
Yep.
So it is a positive. Like, it's bizarre to think that, like, in such a quick time period, it's like you have the Texans, their franchise quarterback, their franchise pass rusher, a competent head coach, hopefully, a coach that everyone wanted, and he chose you.
Yeah.
And now the Rockets, the best coach on the market, chooses you. and hopefully you win a lottery. Like that's the big difference is like you're built on hope that a ping pong ball flies your way.
Yeah.
Like it's like you can't actually tank. So I think this is, you know, it's good for the organization in that the fact that hopefully now when Tillman and these guys, you know, talk about how players want to play for Udoka and that there are players that are excited that Udoka got this job and you have $60 million in cap space, that you can be aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, I know this weekend too was kind of crazy on Twitter, like, you know, Jake Fisher from Yahoo Sports, who isn't really a good reporter in my opinion, like he never tweets anything that actually happens. He floated something out there that Jalen Green has, there's been discussion about trading Jalen Green. Well, I'll tell you this, Rockets fans, they should be having that conversation. They should be having every conversation.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean they should trade Jalen Green. I think that's a mistake, but they should have the conversation. Like, is Jalen Green, does he, if we get the second pick and we get Scoot Henderson, how does Jalen Green fit?
Yeah.
How does Sengun fit with Wemby?
Yep.
Like Wembanyama. Like, all these conversations need to be happening. So, I think that report's false. And, like, you know, Tari Easton tweeted yesterday, like, y'all believe everything with, like, crying emojis, just laughing. Like, it's, they're not trading Jalen Green. I feel pretty confident about that. So,
everything should be open, though.
But everything should be on
everything
the table.
Everything should be on
especially
the table.
Especially if, like, Jalen Brown's on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want Jalen Green over Jalen Brown.
Well, and I think Paul, I saw Paul say this on Twitter maybe about a month ago, a few weeks ago, where, and I have a lot of friends that are Celtics fans where Jalen Brown is the guy that they love. When you're in a clutch situation, when the Celtics are in a clutch situation, Celtics fans want the ball in Brown's hands more than they want it in anybody else's hands. That's the guy that who's just really come into his own in Boston. And if you could go and get a guy like him, everybody should be on the table. I had a conversation about Sengun versus Wemby with somebody a couple weeks ago. They're like, well, I don't want to give up Sengun, you know, if we get Wembanyama. I'm like, why? If you can get value and assets for him, why? I love Sengun. I do.
Yeah, people are enamored with Sengun in a way that I don't personally understand. I think that
I think it's some runoff from Luis Scola. Is like he plays really similarly to the way Scola played.
By the time you're good and you need playoff minutes, they're going to be taking him off the court because he's a liability. Yeah. Let's get Gary in here real quick. Gary wants to talk about Ime and the Rockets. What's going on, Gary?
Hey guys. I just wanted to make a comment. The great Jerry West said it best. You need players. He talked about, and that comes from Jerry West when they were interviewing him, when they were looking after getting Kobe, the late, great Kobe Bryant. So Udoka or whoever can come in, but until you get those players developing, those players just get better. My DNA, like the Kobe's, the Michael, or whatever team, like the Tim Duncan's, makes it much easier when Popovich them have those type of players. So Jerry West, I think, said the best. So hopefully Udoka does a great job, but I don't see the future Tim Duncan or Kobe or Chris Paul, people that made the impact and had that DNA before they got with that particular coach. So we can't, I mean, that's the key. Whatever coach we bring in, are those guys going to mature physically, mentally? Is there a Kobe? Is there a Garnett? Is there somebody in there, Chris Paul or Paul Pierce? That's what, when you have those players, I can come coach you.
Thank you for the call, Gary. Appreciate it. Like, yeah, when you have a guy like that, when you have those great players, but that's not what the Rockets have. They have good players that need to be developed and need to be pushed, and they need to be challenged. They need to be, you know, effort on defense, passing the ball, an effective offense. Now you have a coach that your GM respects, that your players should respect,
yeah,
that demands defensive excellence. You know, the Boston Celtics in January of last year were around 500. They were statistically in the bottom third of the NBA in defense, and then something switched. And Ime Udoka got them turned around, and from January through the rest of the season until they lost the NBA Finals, they had the number one defense in the NBA.
Yep.
So, like, Ime Udoka is going to push these guys. And, look, for Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr., Sengun, all these guys, KPJ, if you can't buy in, if you can't play the way they want you to play, then you're out.
Yeah.
And you start over.
And that's how it should be anytime you're trying to build up a young core of players. You see it all the time where guys just don't fit in. They don't fit in with the culture that's being built. They don't fit in with the style of basketball that's being built. They're not willing to mold their game to the way the coach wants it to. And Ime Udoka is a dude, like you said, he's not going to let them just keep doing their thing. He's not going to let them just keep going the way they have been going and do whatever they want. They have to fit within his culture. They have to fit within his system, or they're going to be gone. I mean, there's a reason why we've seen guys come into Boston and then leave Boston, because they had no problem having those guys move on from the team so they could give it over to the newer, younger players who are willing to fall within the bounds of the culture that they were trying to build.
Yeah, look, so like this is going to be a big season for the Rockets. It's going to be a big season for the Texans. Of course, it's always a big season for the Astros as they continue to show they're one of the best teams in the big leagues. I thought that stretch the Astros had, I mean, it couldn't have gone more perfect. You take 2 or 3 from Tampa. You take 2 or 3 from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you swept the Blue Jays? I can't even remember at this point. But, like, you had that tough stretch of games where, like, you they played great baseball against 3 really good teams. Hunter Brown, oh, my God. That kid is electric.
He's unbelievable.
I mean, dude, like, he is like Justin Verlander, but he went 6 innings without giving up a fly ball outside of the infield.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, his stuff should be a fly ball pitcher, but he was just getting grounders, like, left and right. Like, dude, his slider, 93 miles an hour, it's like,
nasty.
He's nasty. Yeah. We were talking about this with on the Killer Bees this week. Like, does he have the best stuff in the rotation? Yes.
Yes. Yeah, he absolutely does. Here, this is my favorite part, my favorite thing with the Astros right now is everyone, us included, we're concerned about what was going to happen. We talked about this. What's going to happen with Altuve outside of this lineup? What are you going to do with this? Who's going to step up? Who are going to be the guys in those spots? And we were like, well, like DeBon, we like some of the stuff he does, but can he really step up into that role? It's not just one young guy that's stepping up for this team and coming into their own. It's multiple guys. We had the caller who I'm falling more and more and more in love with Jolks every time I see him on the field.
Oh man,
I love him so much.
I surprisingly haven't got crazy pushback on this. I think Chaz McCormick is going to get sent down.
I think so too.
Like, he's starting his double A rehab assignment, but like when everyone's healthy, you know, When Brantley, Altuve, McCormick are all healthy, you have the third catcher gets sent down. So you have Diaz and Maldonado on your roster. The next guy is Bannon, who made his debut yesterday at DH. And then I think it comes down to David Hensley versus Chaz McCormick of who's that next guy going down.
Because you can't move Jolks back. You can't move Myers.
No, Louis Myers is playing what he did to his swing. Like,
yeah.
Dusty Baker loves Jake Myers. He doesn't like Chaz. They openly were just dogging Chaz last year in spring training, talking about Pedro Leon and how much they like Jake Myers, like Dusty and James Click. So, yeah, I think Chaz is going to be sent down traded.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. Imagine what you could get with some of the guys that they've got in the farm with Chaz.
Yeah.
And Chaz has one of the look, I love Chaz McCormick. I do. And he has one of the most iconic plays in Astros history now, right? But You have to understand, whenever you've got talent there, you can't move the talent down for a guy just because of what he did in the past. Like,
yeah.
Jolks, Myers have absolutely earned to be on this roster.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, look, my gut tells me is they will send Hensley down.
Yeah.
And then DuBon will pretty much play, like, the way he's playing. You know, his hit streak ended last night. I think he'll just play every day.
Yeah.
Like, he'll play third base, then shortstop, then second, then I'll have a day off, and he'll just kind of rotate through the infield.
Yep.
Once Altuve's back, to kind of give everyone rest. But yeah, I think in the long term, you're going to see one of these guys, one of the center fielders, will be traded. And it won't be Jolks.
Mm-mm.
Like, Jolks has proven he can come off the bench and hit, and he doesn't have to play every day.
In very clutch situations.
And he doesn't have to play every day to be successful. So, all right, let's get back into the draft. The surprising pick from the Green Bay Packers, they just took an awful quarterback. They just took Sean Clifford from Penn State. That guy stinks. But I guess that Jordan Love's heir apparent. It's the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Joe George and Josh Beard here with you till 2 o'clock. Here on the bullpen, you can find us on Twitter at Joe George Radio, at Josh Beard Radio. Texans 918 on Twitch says, why didn't the Texans give up next year's second instead of this year's second? It would have been much better for the Texans. I still think would have been accepted. Yeah, I mean, look, it's That's impossible to say. I would assume Nick Caserio tried and failed that. You know, a lot of people are like, why didn't they give up the Browns pick instead of theirs?
Probably wasn't enough.
And you know, Nick Caserio had a decision to make. If he's on the phone with the Arizona Cardinals and they say, we want a 24 first to get this done, and you have to give us yours. And he says, no, it's Cleveland. And then they say, okay, well, we're going to move on and we're going to trade the pick to the Tennessee Titans or to someone else. And we're just, or we're just going to take Will Anderson. And you guys can't have him. Nick Caserio has a decision to make.
Yep.
And, you know, you hope that he did negotiate them down in some way. You know, we haven't seen originally. A lot of times you don't see like the, you don't get reports on like what the original offer was and like where they started and how, where they ended. So like, it's kind of just like a mystery. So yeah, I think in theory, you know, Texans 918, it's great in theory that they would have taken next year's second instead, but it's just hard to say. Like, you would hope that if that's the case, then that they would have done that deal.
Well, I mean, that's such a massive value drop from, in the mind of the Arizona Cardinals, what could be a top five pick or top six pick, all the way to a second. Like, that's a massive value drop. Why would you go after a second? I don't think that they would be okay with that. I think they'd rather have Will Anderson than get a couple of extra seconds out of it, you know? So,
because if you're going to go all in for Will Anderson and the Arizona Cardinals are saying, look, it's next year's first for you and this year's second, not next year's second.
Yeah.
You have a decision to make, and it's how much do you love Will Anderson?
Well, especially if the rumors are true that the Titans were doing everything they could to try to move up to the number three spot.
Yeah.
It's not even just that you're negotiating with the Cardinals. You're trying to out-offer and out-negotiate the Tennessee Titans at the same time, who's a division rival.
Yeah.
So you're trying to block a division rival while also getting the guy that you want. So that changes your negotiating stance. It's not like Caserio had the power in this negotiation. Arizona had all the power. And if you don't have the power, then you have to give up a little bit more value than you'd want to give up at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, look, all you can say is you hope that Nick Caserio tried to do that and they just rejected it, and then he decided that he was going to take Will Anderson, the player, and that he felt convicted in his convictions that like that Will Anderson was worth this decision. And then now it's just the question is going to be going forward, like, was it right? So just quickly on the Texans draft. So right now it's CJ Stroud, Will Anderson, Juice Scruggs, Tank Dell.
Round one name, by the way. Like, if we're drafting guys by name,
Tank?
Juice Scruggs and Tank Dell, round one talent.
That's, yeah.
Juice Scruggs might be, if we were doing an NFL name draft, Juice Scruggs might be number one overall.
It's pretty strong.
It's one of the strongest. There's also Yaya Diaby, which is a really, really strong name. He went into the third round last night, I think.
No idea who that is.
A strong one, too. But Juice Scruggs might be straight up number one overall in the name draft.
Yeah. Overall, I like the way, and then the defensive end for Horton from TCU.
Yeah.
So they get a quarterback, two pass rushers, one guy. The kid from TCU looks like he's a little more inside than he is outside. You get a wide receiver, a center. I think in terms of just like attacking the draft in terms of positional need, I do think they did that strongly as well. Like, they needed a center very badly.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a quarterback, obviously. They needed a pass rusher. Like, they needed wide receiver help. I think positionally they attacked the draft very well, and it seems like they did a good job with players. You know, I was reading Lance's player profile and Juice Scruggs, and that, you know, he can move pretty laterally, like, pretty well, and it's a good pick. Like, it's not – was it a reach? Probably.
Yeah. Anyway, but he has more versatility than some of the other centers that they could have gotten.
Yeah, but, like, you know – If you think he's the right guy, then and Nick Caserio traded up for him as well. Like, you go get your guy, just like the other one. So, I think in terms of positional value, I think the Texans did a really strong job this draft.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Round one, obviously, incredibly strong for positional value. The Tank Dell one, I think, for where they got him, and since it was essentially just a straight up 2-for-2 swap to move up to get him, I think that might be positional value wise the strongest outside of the first round. I just the one that I have the most issue with, and I know, like, I had a pretty benign tweet last night about, like, I love these picks. I just wish we wouldn't keep giving up so much value. At some point, you got to gain value back. And the one that I really have the biggest problem with is how much value was given up for Juice Scruggs. But
yeah,
I agree with you. If he's the guy that you like, then go and get him. But it's just it's difficult for me because there's a lot of the people that I trust are putting up these charts showing that not only was Juice Scruggs a reach, not only was he a big reach, he was the biggest reach in the draft by a large margin, period. And that I have a problem with when you're looking at, like, when you're looking at value versus draft and value versus reach propositions and seeing how far down on the list Juice Scruggs is compared to some of these other guys. Like, Jonathan Mingo, maybe a reach for the Panthers. He was rising up people's boards. People loved what he brought to the table. But when you're looking at, like, at his RAS and some of his athleticism attributes and what he his production in college, little bit of a reach for Carolina to take him where they did. But you get it, right?
Yeah, and everyone's board's obviously going to be different. Like, what the media says about right. a center is or any position player is going to be different. I mean, look, we see it in from the first round, but especially when you get to, like, rounds 4 through 7, I think there's such a wide variance.
Yeah.
Of, like, you know, this guy could be Juice Scruggs could be the 5th-rated center to the Texans or the 4th-rated center to the Texans. He could be the last center. He could be 15th to the Titans. Like, it's just – there's such a variance. Well, I think, like, once you're, like – if once you, like, go into, like, that 4th-round grade, especially in this draft,
yeah,
when, like, the reports have been that most teams had at a maximum, like, 14 players
yeah.
graded with first-round grades in this draft. Which is crazy. That's super low. Like, normally, like, you're in the 20s at least, and there's just some reaches. But with the way the quarterbacks usually, like, it ends up working itself out. Like, this is a tough draft. Like, this is not the deepest draft. And it's funny because I feel like the Texans also, they do have an unlucky streak in their franchise. Like, when they do have these top picks, like, there's not. They can't get the top pick when Joe Burrow's there.
Yeah.
They can't
or get when the Trevor top, Lawrence is
or
there.
Trevor Lawrence or yeah. Caleb Williams next year is presumably, like,
yeah.
they don't just bad luck
yeah.
a little bit. But you can't control that. Like, and that's why I also think it's important to take a quarterback now
yes.
versus wait. Because even with, you know, Davis Mills and Case Keenum, my opinion was going into the draft that you're not gonna draft Caleb Williams next year or Drake May because you're gonna win 4 games and you're gonna have the 4th pick in the draft. And you're not going to get that guy.
Yeah, and you're just going to barely miss.
Yeah.
And you could have gotten your guy this year. If you imagine passing on a quarterback here, having passed in this draft on a quarterback, and then having the 4th or 5th pick next year, and then you don't get anybody. Like, I would much rather have C.J. Stroud now than have a hope and a prayer of getting Caleb Williams or Drake May later on. I like what the Texans have done. I like what Caserio has done. I think at the very least, the people who were very anti-Caserio going into this draft, it should at least make them shut up for a little bit. Like, just put yourself on pause. I think the moves that he's made have been good, and everyone should be in hopeful wait-and-see mode. It should be there's hope. There's talent. There's
yeah.
youth. And you said this in the last segment. This is all about development. Next season, it should all be about trying to win games, but mostly develop these young players. And it should be a wait-and-see mode. There shouldn't be, oh, this is the greatest draft that they've ever had. It shouldn't be, oh, I can't believe they did this. This is the worst thing they could have done. No. If both Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud work out, if Tank Dell can be a playmaker and a difference maker both in the special teams and in the offense, if Juice Scruggs ends up being the center that we all hope that we could finally find
yeah.
for the Texans, if all of this works out, then none of the value propositions and none of the other things, they don't matter. And that's where I at least – the one concern I had was in Nick Caserio's press conference where he said, well, we don't really pay attention to the value charts. We don't really care about that. That's a little concerning. But at the same time, I think I get where he was coming from. It's not about in the moment. He's talking about, we don't care if these guys are who we think they are. Like, it's not going to matter if C.J. Stroud is a franchise quarterback and one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. If Will Anderson is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL and he brings a Nick Bosa type level player to this D'Amico defense,
then, like,
in Houston,
we're good.
Yeah, none of it matters.
Yeah.
Like, then people would be like, I would have traded 3 firsts to move up for Will Anderson, right? So none of that matters. This is wait and see mode. We said it earlier. It's either going to go down in flames, and it's going to be that gif of the dump or the trash truck trying to throw trash, like pick up the trash cans, and it throws it all over the place, or it's going to be amazing and it's going to be sunshine and rainbows, and we're all going to be happy.
He's Josh Beard. You can find him on Twitter at Josh Beard Radio. I'm Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. We got some updates from Dusty Baker about Michael Brantley and Chaz McCormick, but also, the one thing that's the most interesting part of this draft is you had four quarterbacks taken in the first 33 picks. Three of them were in the AFC South. We'll hit on that next, our final segment of the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, so as we mentioned earlier, Yordan Alvarez returns to the lineup for your Houston Astros tonight. Dusty Baker meeting with the media before the game. Chaz McCormick, who's in Corpus Christi for his rehab assignment, he's going to need 6 to 7 games. Michael Brantley has been playing some first base. They expect him to play first base when he some first base when he returns to the Astros. Looks like he both could return around May 8th, prior to the Anaheim Angels series. Los Angeles Angels. What's their name again?
The Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles.
Yeah, they keep Anaheim changing it. What do you think about the? Real quick, the Oakland A's, Vegas A's.
I don't know. I feel bad. I feel bad for longtime Oakland fans who have just been like continuously crapped on.
I mean, just there's a reason why everyone's leaving. To be fair, I think there's the politically
city,
like
the city itself politically is like has run teams out of town. Like, I just feel bad for the Oakland fan base.
Raiders, the A's, it's tough. I mean,
they still got the Warriors at least for now.
But no, they really don't.
They kind of they
no,
do.
No, remember they left?
Oh yeah.
They built a new stadium on the other side of the bridge.
They're that's true.
they left Oakland. They're still the Golden State Warriors, but they're on the other side of the bridge.
It's close enough.
No, I know, but
it's close enough.
It's it's just that fan base is like getting ravaged, like them in San Diego, just like taking a bath. But there's a reason why.
Yeah,
like there's a reason why teams are not successful in those markets. I'm curious. Like, I'm excited to go. Like the first time at the Astros, like I'll go probably twice that year. I'll go for one of the Astros series, and then the first time the Cubs play the Vegas A's or whatever they're going to be called.
I hope they just change. Like, don't be the Vegas A's. That's just.
Yeah, they got to change.
They have to change their name. Yeah. They have to rebrand.
Well, if there wasn't the WNBA team, you just change it to the Aces.
Yeah.
But, like, they already have that moniker. So it's like, you got to change it to something else.
I hate Vegas. Vegas Aces would be awful. Because Vegas Aces? Now that's awful.
But, like, yeah, I get why they're leaving. And I'm excited to go, like, once or twice. But it's not like the NFL. You know, like, the Texans play the Vegas Raiders once every. Like, it's like once every like 8 years, or once every 4 years in Vegas. So like there's like a reason to go that one time, because like the other next time they'll play, it'll be here. Like you go back and forth every 2 years or whatever it is.
Right.
So like it might be every 3 years. The NFL schedule is complicated now with this extra game. But like, I don't know, like are we really going to all go out there like more than once to go see?
I
bet you like we'll go out there. The station will go out there. We'll probably go to Circa.
Yeah.
We'll be at the sports book. We'll be by the pool.
Can I fill in one of those days?
Yeah, possibly.
Nice. Just bring me out to Vegas.
We gotta make sure you want to. That you know, everyone that is supposed to go wants to go, and like we're good to go, and like we'll get you out there.
Oh, somebody randomly didn't show up for the flight, but Josh is here. That's wild.
Oh, and his name's on
that's
the ticket.
Crazy.
Oh, Josh Chevy's here too. Like, Like, guess everyone's going to Vegas.
Josh, why are you throwing those gloves?
Get in line, buddy.
We have two people missing, and both the Joshes are here. That's crazy.
That's so weird. But like, we'll all go.
Cody Stutz is in a closet somewhere.
But like, are we going to go the next time they play? Because they're going to play there so many times.
Low key, Vegas is actually going to be a fun. I think it's going to be a fun sports town now. I think they get a baseball team, they get a football team, and they already had one of the better hockey teams. So they have the Golden Knights. the Raiders and the A's now, or whatever they changed their name to, because Vegas A's is super dumb. I think it'll be a fun sports town. Like I could see myself being like, okay, I want to make a Vegas trip, because I'm not a big like go to Vegas guy. I'm not like
I'm supposed to be in Vegas right now.
I'm not a big. I don't like go. It's too many people. Too much bull. I would rather just get drunk at home and like
that was a good save.
Yeah, and just gamble at my house digitally.
Yeah,
like I don't want to go to Vegas now though. I'm like, you know what? I could go to the buffets. I could do a little gambling, and I could go see each one of those. If I go at the right time in the fall, I could go see the Raiders and a baseball team. Yeah.
But you know what's crazy though is that like I don't have that interest. Like
really,
if I go to Vegas, I'm gonna go gamble. Like I don't want to go. I mean, now the football tickets are a joke. It was like we talked about me and my buddies talked about go watching the Bears play this year. It was like $800. Like it was like three,
what?
It was like $250. To sit at the top of the stadium.
No thanks.
Because think about the like an NFC team. Yeah. They play in Vegas once every 8 years.
That's
a little bit. The formula is a little different now with the 17th game.
Yeah.
But like it's like you only play the AFC West once every 4 years if you're in the NFC North.
That's wild.
And they flip those games, so it's like it's a destination event. And I'm like, I'm not gonna drop that kind of money. But also like if I'm out there for an Astros game. To go watch them play the A's, and I'm on a heater at the crafts table. Like I'm not leaving. Like I'm not leaving to go play to go watch a baseball game.
See, and that's why there's interest for me because like I don't like going. I don't like gambling because my luck is awful.
Yeah.
Okay. My luck is terrible. So I don't do it because I know I'll lose.
Yeah.
I'll lose my shirt every time, and it'll always be bad. So for me, it's more about like maybe I'll do a little gambling. My rule is when I go places that I can gamble, I was in New Orleans recently, I take $100 out, and then I'll use that $100 cash, and then I'll mess around with that. That's it. That's all I'll do. So I'll do a little bit of gambling, but for me, it's more about the buffets and the sports and the shows.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. All right, so just recapping here.
Yeah.
Give me a grid. I know that the Texans draft isn't over yet.
Yeah.
I jokingly tweeted A+. After the first day, like Brennan responded F.
Yeah, of course he did.
I think that
he's not reactionary at all
because of the unknown of what the 2024 first is. Like I will say, I do think that they overpaid to move up.
Yeah, I think that's nobody can argue that fact.
I do think they gave up too much. I think Nick Cassero got swindled a little bit. I think people are aware that Nick Cassero likes to trade up and doesn't care about his assets as much as other. And they took advantage of him a little bit.
Yeah.
But overall, like with this draft, based on positional need, because I like CJ Stroud, because I love Will Anderson, I give him an A.
I'm going to give them.
And I know my grades don't mean anything to you.
I'm so excited about Will Anderson and CJ Stroud that it's going to bump it up a little bit. I'm going to give him an A-.
Okay.
I think it would be a B+ for me. If it weren't for the fact that like they got two of the most talented players. Just could you think of, can we go back 2 years, whenever the 2023 draft was supposed to be the greatest NFL draft of all time, and now we're all talking about it like, oh, there's only 14 or 15 players. That's wild to me.
See, and that is why
that's exactly why you don't hold your hopes on the next draft.
It's always that. Yep. And because if you're one of the people today that says they shouldn't have taken a quarterback, they should have waited for next year. My problem with you, if you're that person, is that next year when Cade Klubnik wins the Heisman Trophy and is playing for a national championship here in Houston with the Clemson Tigers, y'all are going to be the same people that are saying, don't take Caleb Williams, wait for Cade Klubnik.
Yeah.
And then when Arch Manning wins the Heisman as a sophomore, you're going to say, wait for Arch Manning. Like, it's never enough. The future always looks brighter.
Yeah.
It always looks brighter.
Yeah.
And that's why,
CJ Stroud and Bryce Young were supposed to be an iconic quarterback class.
Like,
and now everybody's like, nah, too many flaws.
Like, people were like, Bryce Young's your quarterback next year. Now, they didn't get the number one pick, and that's the thing. Like, you can't control it. Like,
nope.
You can't, and that's where, so it's too much, the value's just always. The future always looks brighter than it really is. Like, people talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. like he's like the next Justin Jefferson. I get why. But what if CJ Stroud made Marvin Harrison who he was?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the case.
Justin Jefferson wasn't even supposed to be the next Justin Jefferson. Yeah. You know who it was in that draft that everybody was freaking out about beforehand? It was Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
Where's Jalen Reagor now?
What if Marvin Harrison tears his ACL the first game of the season.
Yeah.
Or the last game of the season, like Jameson Williams. And he's the 12th pick in the draft because he's not going to be ready for his entire rookie year. Like, there's too much unknown. Yeah. Like, everything that could go wrong could go wrong. And it goes in both directions. The Texans could have the second worst record in the NFL. The Cardinals could have the first. And you might have just given the Arizona Cardinals Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. And that would suck. But it can go the other way, too. Like, yeah. Like, it's just like, it's an unknown. All right. He is Josh Beard. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You can find him on Twitter at Josh Beard Radio. What's your Twitch?
Twitch is Toofpete, at Toofpete.
At Toofpete. Josh Chevy behind the glass. He's on Twitter at IMJChevy. I am Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. I'm back on Monday with the Killer Bees from 12 to 3. Don't forget we have the Sunday Bullfriend with Brian McDonald, RJ Saunders, and Sean Mapes tomorrow from 10 to 12. Myself and Andrew Carlson back next week at noon. See ya.
ESPN 97.5.